The Curious Couple, Episode 22.
You're tuned into The Curious Couple for the Curious Ear with your hosts, TNA. Get ready to have your curiosity piqued while exploring what it's like to live out fantasies with this fun, fit, and sexy duo.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I'm T.
And I'm A.
And tonight we have a special guest with us again, Dave from episode 19, The Cuckold Hot Wife Fantasy. Welcome back, Dave.
Thanks for having me. Yes, somehow I am now called Cuckold Dave, which if you had given me a billion guesses 3 weeks ago, I never would have guessed that as a nickname for myself. So.
Well, don't ruin it, because you have become the most popular episode over the last 3 months.
You got us a lot of Twitter attention, too, yeah. I think.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I think we'll have fun tonight, so
yeah. Look forward to it. So we might have even mentioned this on our last podcast, that you had an interest in, actually, we probably mentioned it on the podcast you were on, and then I think we mentioned it on the last one. The format tonight's going to be a little different for us and for you listeners. We are going to be on the interviewee side as opposed to the interviewer. So, are you feeling up for the challenge?
Well, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think that as an avid listener of your program, you guys do a very good job of opening up and being honest about your life and this lifestyle and your feelings. But, you know, sometimes I've noticed stories that I know from either being there or hearing them firsthand. You know, maybe you sort of skip over some of the good parts. Oh, so okay. I thought maybe I can jump
on. Maybe we should be the ones that are nervous.
Yeah, maybe no, we're not ready.
Yeah, just hold your feet to the fire on a few things. But no, I think that you have done a great job of introducing yourselves over these past 20 episodes or 21, whatever it's been. But you know, I think the people that listen want to know more. So hopefully I can open up some windows into your lives.
Yeah, we'll give it a whirl.
All right, well, so I'm just going to fire away some questions.
Fire away.
Do it.
And know that I love you before I ask. So we'll start with A. It's always better to start with A because that's all anyone cares about, right? So A, just in general terms, what's your sex life like, say, in like the 3 to 5 years leading up to meeting T? Are you active? Do you have a serious boyfriend? If you are active, are you pretty wild and crazy or tame? What's it like? Give us the picture.
Three to 5 years
before? Yeah. Okay. You don't have to go all the way back to like the first uncomfortable, you know, finger banging a truck in Claremore, but, you know.
Easy. I won't give away too much.
Oh, yeah. You can delete that part.
Okay. So I guess to tell that story, you have to tell the story that I was a single mom. My child was, what, 5? I think 5 when T and I started dating. So I would say, okay, to address your questions, I was sexually active. I was in the dating scene, very actively in the dating scene, I guess you could say.
Match.com.
Yeah, I did. I went through the whole Match.com phase. I did have a few, maybe a handful, like kind of serious relationships, but dating with a kid is hard. So that, nothing really panned out. I don't think I was in anything real long term. So there was a lot of flings, I guess you could say.
Uh-huh.
There was
short
a lot.
Relationships.
There were some short relationships. There was also a right before we started dating, I kind of had a friends with benefit type relationship that was just about sex. So I did that a few times. As far as the kinky stuff, I mean, I never like explored any lifestyle stuff or even like mention of that with any relationship previous to T, but honestly it hadn't even crossed my mind until we talked about it probably on our first date. It was close.
Okay.
So you had some relationships, or at least one or two relationships where there was regular enough intimacy, sex.
Yeah.
Can I jump
sort
in?
Of experiment? Yeah, please.
Yeah, I want to jump in.
Still your show despite
So, one interesting fact about you, you have to tell them when talking about your sexuality before you met me.
What?
How many batteries you would go through. Oh. It was impressive.
So I had a lot of sex with myself. So the thing is, I was a single mom. So I didn't get, and I didn't have any help really. When I had nights out, it was friends, and you're very aware of this, Dave. It was friends that were kid swapping with me. So I would get a night off and then I would take their kids the next night. And so that didn't happen much, like maybe once every 4 to 6 weeks. And so these friends with benefits or whatever I would have, it wasn't often. So there was a lot of sex by myself.
Yeah. She would go through a large pack
of probably 16 AA or AAA batteries in probably a month, 6 weeks.
That's hilarious.
Well, to be fair, they've done a lot with sex toys since then. And okay. You don't have to.
Now they're gas powered.
Yeah, they're gas powered.
Kickstart them.
they plug in, they charge. I have a chargeable one now. Anyway, so yeah, there were orgasms being had.
Sometimes it was just you in the room.
Yes, most of the time.
And I'm sure T has similar stories. So let's ask the same question to T. So again, you were married prior to this relationship.
Yes.
How much time in between divorce and meeting A? And is there any activity in that gap there? Or maybe you can even talk a little bit about what it was like in your marriage.
Sexually. Yeah. Okay.
This is fun.
I met A three or 4 months after separating with my ex-wife, and I did a little dating, not much. I went out with a couple girls. Nothing that compared to A, that's for sure.
You don't have to say that.
I think I got a rebound out of the way between meeting A. But in my marriage, I was totally sex deprived. Mm-hmm. I was not being fulfilled. It was a long 7-year relationship that was good for the first 6 months when it came to that department. And after that, I felt like I was a starving dog and just looking for someone to pet me.
But you never strayed?
No. I was faithful.
You did the guy equivalent of going through Sam's Club battery packs?
Yeah, he watched a lot of porn.
Yeah, I was accused of being a porn addict. And I'm like, how can I be accused of being a porn addict if no one will have sex with me? I mean, I'm going to have sex. It might as well be with my computer.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys meet. That's good background. I mean, there's, I can see sparks having painted those pictures that, there might be some kinkiness in both of your lives.
We didn't wait long.
You didn't wait long. So no. So you get together, you meet. We've kind of heard the story about how you meet. But look, take me inside your brain here, T, for a second. What's going through your brain the first time you see A undressed?
I was thinking, she is built like a porn star. She was a knockout. She was wearing a short dress, and she was tan and pretty and fun. And I remember, she invited me over, and I was trying to be respectful being a gentleman. And I kissed her at the door on my way out, and she didn't let me leave. And so that's when I quit being a gentleman. but yeah, she's obviously gorgeous.
So are you nervous at all this first time? I mean, it's you've had some experience in between your marriage,
yeah.
but maybe obviously knowing A and imagining what might be going through your head. Are you nervous a little bit?
You know what's interesting? I wasn't that nervous. I would understand that line of thinking, but we were so it was like we were instantly joking and friendly, and here was something totally new to me, was the amount of texting that goes on now in dating was mm-hmm. totally new to me. So before I had even gone out with her, I spent 3 days texting with her.
Mm-hmm.
I should say receiving a bombardment of texts from her.
Yeah.
That by the time we went out, we had a rapport, and I was joking, and so by the time it came to us being together, it felt like we had dated for a week or two. And
which, time out there, a little foreshadowing. I also like that now, like in the lifestyle stuff. When we start talking to a couple, if we're going to meet up with them or whatever, that makes it easier. That's just like, I'm just setting it up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's like we're getting all this stuff out of the way, so we're comfortable by the time we meet.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Yeah, to be successful these days, you have to have a good, strong text game, sounds like.
Right. Yeah, you do. Yeah.
So, here, this is ultimately what I'm getting to, which I kind of surprised myself because I had my A game that night.
I was just about to ask. So you're able to...
It was game on. We were good. And
Is it one time? Is it two times? Is there morning sex the next day?
Oh, no, he didn't stay.
I didn't stay.
He didn't stay.
I did come in her hair, though. And I think she may have high-fived me and said, nice shot.
Am I
lying?
No
he's not
that.
Lying, but that's not the reaction he gets now if he comes
no,
in
No,
hair.
Right, no. Right. We had that experience recently.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
He does not get the high five.
So
I knew she was a keeper when she took that like a champ.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's I don't even know what to say to that. That's I had possible responses written down here. That was not on the list. Came in my hair and was high fived. Okay. Yeah,
that happened.
So hey, back to you. I mean, obviously you sort of have the power here to make this decision that hey, it's gonna happen tonight. He's trying to leave. You won't let him go. You got him inside. He's undressing. What's going through your mind?
Well, I already thought that he was the hottest guy that I had ever met. I mean, I don't know that it was anything that I hadn't imagined. I knew that he was...
blushing.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, no, he's definitely sexy. I think we were in a super dark room. So I don't know that we really saw a whole lot. It was
limited lighting.
We were in a really dark room. But no, I mean, of course I think he's sexy.
So do you think you accidentally had hold of his leg? Or is this the biggest thing you've ever seen / felt before?
It was pretty big.
Oh, unfortunately, I know that. my wife telling me. Okay, so that's great stuff. Now, you guys, I'm trying to fast forward here so I don't spend too much time in the early days. But so you guys get into a routine, and I kind of know this from getting to know you, and you guys are just very open. But how many times are you doing it, say, you know, a month into your relationship once you've crossed this threshold? Are you every day? Are you multiple times a day? What's it looking like?
When we were dating, it couldn't be that often because we were still...
Wait a second.
What? Was it every day?
We both had very flexible jobs.
That's true.
So literally our relationship for the first several months was you coming over at lunchtime at my place.
That's true.
Us going to the gym and then us having sex.
Oh, yeah. But see, we had to get creative. So we would go to the gym sometimes if we had our kids. We would go to the gym, drop our kids off in the kids' classroom, do maybe a 45-minute workout, because I think they had an hour and a half limit, right?
Something like that.
And then we'd go to the shower and have sex in the shower room.
In, like, the community...
In the community family locker room. Perverts.
All right, all you people out there, wear your flip-flops in the community.
So, yeah, I guess it was, yeah.
Yeah, we had sex... I mean, trust me, it was... A lot about
a
sex.
Lot,
There's instant chemistry, no doubt.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be talking today if there wasn't. So having said that, though, I know the conversation about the lifestyle and going to clubs happens pretty early in the relationship. But do you have time before that conversation goes down to develop sort of routines? I know that, you know, I've been married to my wife for a long time. We've been married since 2002 and together 4 years prior to that, so a long time. And sex is great, but we do sort of have a routine where we do this first, we do that first, and rarely does it vary from the routine. Mm-hmm. And it's great because we both like it. We both get off and we're happy and sort of spice it up here and there. But do you guys develop a routine like that? Are you
talking about early
not
on?
That
yeah,
early.
Yeah, early. Are you into certain positions? Or do you have fetishes you're exploring together before you start talking about the lifestyle?
Maybe anal.
We did a lot of anal early on.
Yeah. And now we don't.
Now you don't.
But no, I don't think
I think
we
she
had
was
any...
put you were putting on the full court press to hook me early.
That was part of it, yeah. But we didn't have any routines probably until we lived together. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, our routine was daily gym
daily
sex.
Gym shower
and it was,
sex.
Yeah, but it was but most of our daily sex at that point was porn star sex.
Oh yeah,
you were doing dirty things to me.
Well, you were telling me to do dirty things to you.
I know. Sorry.
See, now this is, I'm glad you said that, A, because this is the point where you would go on to the next part. And this is why I'm here. So, we need to hear some details on what's this. I don't even know what you're talking about here. What's this dirty?
I'm trying to think.
Okay, I'll tell him.
Well, you want to know what I'm picturing in my head when he says that? Is I remember one day bending over backwards off the couch and you pile driving me like a porn. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I think we may have even been watching a porn. I was like, let's do that.
Or how about the time we came back to my place after being at the gym and had sex in the shower? And sex in the shower, personally, for me, the feeling of water while having sex kind of kills it for me.
Yeah.
So it numbs it. So we're in the shower having sex.
And then you get hot.
And she's bent over and I am just desperately trying to get off. And it was she took it like a champ. I mean, we were doing it for 20 minutes in there. Oh, yeah. She didn't complain. She just she liked it, which I'm thinking nobody liked. I mean, no. We were at that for so long.
I was putting on my best behavior.
Oh, yeah. So let's see. I'm trying to think some of the things
I couldn't walk. Just to recap that whole situation, my lower back was in knots for 2 days.
Doesn't say a word to me.
I can
even
barely
while
walk.
We're doing it.
Yeah. No, I'm good. I may have even been moaning and telling you.
I'm trying
the
to think.
You do.
Well,
the
at that time, she. I remember when we first started dating. She's like, "Okay, what I like is somebody who is aggressive, confident, takes charge." And I mean, me coming from a relationship that lacked any intimacy, let alone this, super masculine role, was something totally different than what I was used to. And I took advantage of it. I loved it. You know, she loved it. So she wanted me to pull her hair. What?
Yeah. I was going to say early on, are you sort of easing into it thinking, all right, I need to maybe this time try to make it a little more soft and intimate, or are you getting the sort of the green light to just, hey, I like this too. Let's pretend we're porn stars.
I think that was kind of a way to avoid that soft and intimate thing. Maybe
well, what's
for
funny,
both of us.
That's more my nature.
Yeah.
My nature is more soft, sensual, and she's like, I want it hard.
I think somewhere, if you got a psychologist to dissect this, I think that was my way of making all that okay and not, I don't
making
know, almost
okay.
like. I mean, it was so early on. I want this to be hot, passionate sex and not about the, because I get so attached. Yeah. I get so attached. And clearly I had feelings in this relationship before you did. And I think that was kind of my wall. And it was what we were both comfortable with. And we were both enjoying it. So, because now, I mean, not that that doesn't happen, but
I tease her now.
But he teases me because I don't ask for that. It's not my preference. And I'm not even sure if it really was then. That was just kind of...
Well, it was what you were communicating
to me.
It was what
I was needing at that time. And I don't know why that is.
Well, I tease her because now it's she just wants soft, sweet sex.
I do. Yeah. Well,
and then, the fucking happens when it's somebody else.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And another thing that maybe we don't talk about enough is how, soft and passionate you are. I mean, you are just that way. And I watch you.
I'm more of a lover than a fucker.
Yeah, and I'll watch you even with other women. And I think that you're more sensual and touchy. You hold close and you're just more touchy-feely than a lot of the guys in the lifestyle are.
Hmm.
I think
good
they
or
like,
bad?
I think it's good. I think they like it.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Because,
I don't hear any complaints.
Yeah, well. Yeah, there's multiple reasons for that probably, but that is very interesting because, I think that, again, generalizing here a little bit, but most women probably aren't as into the sort of the porn type sex. I mean, that's kind of a guy fantasy most of the time.
Right.
And, again, generalizing, but, it's interesting that when you're in the lifestyle, T, that you're sort of giving women a more sensual, soft experience, that might actually be one of the reasons why you're so popular in these clubs.
Well, I don't know, if that's the case, but yeah, it's interesting because I think it's easier to be the porn star type sex in the lifestyle because you're not having much of an emotional connection with people.
Yeah. You're in a freaking orgy.
Yeah. Like, that's well, not always in an orgy.
I know, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Anyways, you were going to move on?
Yeah, well, that was a dumb question. It's hard to interview. It's harder to interview than I thought, so delete that one. Okay, so we've talked, you guys have talked on the podcast prior about the conversation and, you know, what led up to talking about the lifestyle. Again, I want to kind of double back on that and talk more about what's going on inside your heads. And so as you are having this discussion, T, about, hey, what about going to a sex club? I mean, is your heart just going 1,000 beats a minute? Are you scared? Are you turned on? What's going through your head when you're having this conversation?
You know, it was a conversation that was more not like maybe I can talk her into this. It was more like this girl meets my same level of perviness, and it was something that we just kind of concluded together. So it was more like, well, what do you think? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, because we mentioned this before, we're both people watchers, we're both porn watchers, and we're like, what's the best people watching we could do? Live porn. So where can we do it? And that's how we got into this, was just wanting to watch. So it was not really like nervous, like, oh, can I talk her into this? Although, do you remember we used to joke about... You asked me, you're like, is this a relationship or is this a, are we just friends with benefits?
Yeah.
And the running joke between us early on was, well, just tell me you want to have a threesome and then I'll know. That'll be our way of communicating. You just want friends with benefits.
Yeah. Cause I thought if he's wanting to have a threesome, then this is just about sex.
Yeah. This is just fun. Yeah. And so we used to, it was like a running joke that was the case.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it changed. Do you know how?
I don't know, but I know that when we had our threesome, we had that conversation on the car ride home about that joke and how.
And here we are about to do it.
Yeah. At six in the morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
6 in the morning.
Yeah. So same question again to you, A. So are you sitting, I mean, it sounds like maybe there's a little bit of doubt because if I remember correctly in the chronology, had you had the threesome before you went to the club, or was that after you'd
already? No, we actually went to like a lifestyle party very early on, like 3 months in, but we didn't do anything. We were just kind of wallflowers. We did that maybe a couple times before the actual threesome happened.
You had already had the conversation. I was just trying to get kind of how you were feeling, what was going through your mind when you're having the conversation about going down to the club.
Oh, well, when we had the conversation, it was more just, I think how it happened was we were talking about people watching and porn, and T said, this is how I remember it. You said something like, you know, there's clubs where people have sex in them. And I was like, what? No, there's not. Yeah. I didn't believe, when I thought about sweet, that, I thought it was girl. Like, yeah, like underground stuff. Like, this has to be illegal. What are you talking about? And so I think that's kind of how it happened. And then we started looking online at the clubs. And the more I read about it, I loved it. I was just eat up with that. Just reading through and looking at pictures. And so...
Yeah, that's right. You found them all.
I found it. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like he had this in the back of his mind and was wanting to talk me into it. I think it more became about just our common interest and just curiosity.
And no way were we jumping into the lifestyle in our minds. It was more we were going to watch.
We had absolutely no intention of that. And when that even became a thought in my head, it made me super uneasy because I was still pretty insecure about our relationship, I would say, for the first year.
Yeah.
Well, and you've talked before about your progression about sort of the voyeur side and then also the exhibitionist side when you started doing it on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and again, I think that's been great going through that, following you guys on the podcast through that progression. So I'm going to skip forward a little bit.
Yeah.
And you're sort of established that you have great chemistry together. You've established that you want to explore the lifestyle. You've been through the early sort of feeling out of what it's going to be like. And now you are actively participating. So I want to know, what did each of you feel like? And I guess we'll go back to you first. What did you feel like the first time you saw T kiss another woman? The first time you saw him get and or give oral, and then the first time you saw him have sex. Those three sort of situations. What are the feelings like? Anything interesting
Which
you want to share?
Which is funny because probably not in that order would I put it in. Like on a scale of, oh, that's hot to, ooh, that kind of makes me uncomfortable. Because of all those things, the only thing that kind of made my heart stop was when you kissed our friend that we had the threesome with.
And was that
And I think
that
was because it was the first, wasn't that the first time?
Yeah.
Okay, that's really the only reason I referenced her. I don't know that it had anything to do with the fact that it was her, but the first time you kissed somebody else, that was a little testing.
So it was like in the midst of you kissing her, feeling you guys were naked, and then just this...
There's just something
probably
about...
Probably this innocent kiss.
Yeah,
what
there's just something
innocent
about,
at that
and, I, and honestly, it doesn't have anything to do with her, because I had to even think, was it her or was it... It may have been somebody in Dallas that was the first time, but that just, that act... is so much, and I think there's a lot of lifestyle people that would agree, because I've heard some other podcasts where they'll soft swap, but they had no kissing rules, because that, it's like the Pretty Woman rule.
Yeah.
Like, you can have sex, but you can't kiss, because it's intimate.
Yeah.
So, and obviously it didn't, like, make me want to stop. It wasn't scary. It took a couple seconds, and I was like, oh, okay, that's hot. But I think the first time it happened, it probably made me go, ooh, that's okay. All right.
So that was harder than watching me have sex?
Than watching you, like, someone going down on you. I don't know why. Probably because it's something being done to you, and it's hot, like...
Versus me doing something.
Versus you, yeah. Like, engaging.
So, any difference in the giving or receiving of oral when you're watching T get oral versus give oral?
I don't remember that really bothering me. I want to say maybe the first time I was also, like...
It would have
down
been,
there with you.
It would have been a threesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think that, like, bothered me.
Well, did it
You're
turn
doing
you
it together.
Like, what
yeah,
was the emotion?
Yeah, we were doing it
was
together.
It?
That's a weird scenario because this was a friend. And so most of my emotions are tied to that.
Okay, so
and
think
that
about
it was the first time. But
first couple.
The first couple. Remind me who that was.
Probably Oklahoma City. Yes,
was
it was
it?
Colette.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that was freaking hot. Nothing that you did to her or that she did to you, like, bothered me at all. I was more concerned in that moment about engaging with the husband. So I thought it was hot. I thought it was real hot. First of all, it helps that, and I know we've talked about this in a previous podcast, but it helps that she was like the get at the club. She was it. Like, to me, she walked in and the entire place was hers. I mean, she owned the place. And so to watch him engage with her was really hot, and I got to play too. So that was just really sexy. And now, I mean, I get more turned on watching T give, take, whatever, kiss. I mean, all that stuff I think is super hot. Like, it doesn't affect me negatively.
Well, I agree totally with you about the kissing. That is the sort of the strangest thing, ironically.
Isn't it?
But there sort of is, for whatever reasons, a societal rule about intercourse, the first moment of actual penetration that sort of, you know, you've crossed the line there, whether or not it's, you know, I think in our heads, we've decided that kissing is weirder, but you know, if you were to tell a total stranger, it would be the sex part. So,
yeah. Well, don't get me wrong. I mean, like, our first full swap, I mean, I'm taking out the friend experience because that's different, but the first full swap, I want to say, like, didn't I have my hand down there? Like, I wanted to be so much a part of it that I wanted to feel when it went in, like.
Not, you had your hand on me the first time we interacted
to see if
I was going to do that.
But still, it was like it was a rush. It's hard to explain because it's like uncomfortable, but it's hot.
It's just a bunch of nervous energy.
It's super nervous energy. It's like, oh my gosh, what's going
scared,
on? What's going
but
on?
Excited.
What is it?
So,
what's happening?
so when you realize it's happening, you're just kind of in the zone. You're sort of having an out of body experience.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of.
And that same night, so the threesome with the friend that same night, do you both have intercourse with the couple, or is it just
is it
a while before? So how many times T do you have sex before A does with someone else?
I did probably a couple times.
Yeah, probably a couple.
a threesome, and then there was another local couple we went out with, and I had sex with her.
And that just became like my comfort level. That yeah. was really what I, if I could have tattooed it on, you know, this is us. This is permanently yeah. us.
And it was my comfort level too. Yeah. It was both of our comfort level.
Yeah.
And then
that's so brave of you, T, for that to be your comfort level.
Isn't it? He's so yes. sacrificial. But really, it was more me. I think he would have been more comfortable with it than I would have been.
Not early on.
Maybe no, not early no. on. But
no, because this, I, going into this experience and this lifestyle, I felt like I was personally, like, full on attacking my fears. Because, like, I, in previous relationships, have been kind of jealous or possessive. And, you know, maybe it's maturity, maybe it's what I've gone through in failing marriages, but I, you know, I'm like, you know what, this possessive nature of mine is bullshit. I need to overcome it. And this was, this was part of my goal in doing this. I was going to challenge myself, and I was with somebody I trusted would, you know, respect the way I felt and kind of hold my hand through it. Mm-hmm. And if I needed to yank it back, she would, you know, jump back or, you know.
And we did.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just remembering we had some hurdles.
Sure, sure. So that's a great segue, T, because I was going to ask you again the same questions. So what's it like the first time you see a kiss someone else?
So I'm assuming you're referring to kissing a man because
yes, well, yes. Yeah.
Because well, so kissing girls, you know, that's hot. Guys like that. But for me, it's a little weird because I'm not like most guys mm-hmm. where she was just like, "Well, you're going to love if I just, you know, make out with girls and do things with girls." And I was like, "How come you get to and I don't?"
So selfish.
Yeah, I'm like, that doesn't sound that much fun for me. So it may be a turn on if I get to do it too. But that being aside, when she first was interacting with another man, I was a ball of energy, like just nervous, like this feels so weird. I'm turned on, but I'm freaked out. And I remember one of the first interactions was this couple that we were talking about, and we were on the dance floor, and the woman is, you know, being very aggressive with me. She's kissing me. She's putting her hands on me. And her husband, I mean, he played it perfectly. He was kind of just hanging back, letting his wife, you know, set the mood. And A just slowly but surely got more and more comfortable with him. And we're all dancing on the dance floor. And A leans over and whispers in my ear that, he just stuck his hand up her dress. And I just had this flood of, or this rush of nerves. And I'm like, that's a turn on, but what the fuck is going on? Like I didn't have an explanation for it, but I knew I was okay. You know, I knew she was okay. Like if I was uncomfortable, she would walk out the door. I wasn't going to lose her. Like,
right.
So it was fun. And so that night we did a little playing where she, you know, made out with him. In fact, I've got this gorgeous woman on my lap, kissing me, making out with me, you know, playing with, going down on me. And I remember at one point I stopped her because actually we played with another couple before this, the night before, and a guy went down on A, and it really didn't even faze me. Like it could have been because the husband or because the wife was going down on me while the husband was going down on her. But it's a whole nother story when she actively does something. And that to me just ups the ante for me. And it's a turn on and it makes me nervous. And so we're playing with this couple and, you know, this gorgeous girl, which A describes is the catch of the building. Mm-hmm. And I tell her, can you just stop for a second? I want to see what's going on over here because I've never seen her do this before. And she's like, really? And I said, yeah. And A was in the process of going down on this guy. And I'm like, holy shit, this is really happening. And it, again, it just, you know, when people get this anxiety and these nerves, they automatically assume they're bad. And I'd always assumed that, but I'm like, they're not. They're fun if you engage them and you challenge yourself. And it, and now when I have my quiet moments to myself where I, you know, think about what's hot to me or what's sexy, my thoughts go to, in my mind, watching her play with other men in our experiences. Yeah. I'm like, how weird is that? Not these gorgeous women that I've interacted with, but the men that she's interacting with and what she's doing to them or having done to her. Like, that's what seems to turn me on more than anything.
That's great.
Yeah, it's weird. So, I'm weird.
So when is the first time that A has sex with someone else? And I think you did a great job, and I think the feelings probably, if I'm guessing, are going to be similar. But that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal for a guy. So
it was a really big deal.
Yeah.
And we just, I think we may have shared this story. Well, I know we shared this story before, but we were on a bed. This is another visit to the Colette Club. And I remember A being on her stomach and him like straddling her. And I thought they were having sex. I'm like, what?
He's a humper.
Yeah, I'm like, what the what? We didn't even discuss this. And on the way down, yeah, I'll bring this up because not everyone probably heard the first story. On the way down to Dallas, I'm like feeling her out because I'm thinking, let's take this step. And she's like, I don't really know. I'm not, I doubt it. I'm not really feeling it. And, I'm trying to get mentally prepared for this. And I'm trying to have this conversation. And she's kind of blowing me off like, no, I doubt it, And so suddenly we're in this position and she's like, hey, where are the condoms? And I'm like, what? We're going to do this?
Is this the single guy?
No. This is the couple. And we had interacted with them before. And so that's why we were talking about it. We knew they'd be there. Like, mm-hmm. if we're going to, it's going to be with somebody I'm comfortable with. And so if it's them or nobody, like we're not full swapping with anybody else. And I still had that whole creepy dude thing in my head. Like, all the guys were creeping me out. It was just not something I was completely comfortable with. But that night, and I'll tell you what it was. This is important that people probably identify with or would want to know. But that night, and what made me shift gears about him was the love that he had for his wife. And that, I think I even pointed that out to you. Like, yeah, this is cool. Like, she would go off and she'd be dancing on the pole or, gosh, touching tea or I don't even know, but whatever she was doing, he did not take his eyes off of her. And he made some comments, here and there about just how beautiful she was and how wonderful she was. And mm-hmm. I mean, and that's why, I see a lot of that in tea too. You guys are in the sex club with naked, beautiful women everywhere. And you love the one you came with and, mm-hmm. and you can feel that. And I think that was kind of my fear with the men and the lifestyle going into it was they weren't all going to be like T. They were just there to have sex with other people. And I think there probably are those men out there.
Well, I'm sure they're there to have sex with other people, but they're not all about other people.
That's what I mean. Right. I feel like my fear was they're just here because they don't want to have sex with their wife.
Right.
They're just here because they're not getting their needs met. And I think that's where a lot of people, that's where the stigma is with this. Like, well, what's wrong with your relationship that you have to go have sex with other people? And I feel like there's not very many people that get that like we do.
Right.
And that night I felt like they got that.
So back to the scene. So, we're in this position and she's like, oh, where are the condoms? And I'm like, I was kind of in that mode. Like, yeah, this is going to happen. But typically up to this point, it's, I'm the one driving here and I'm the one when it's like, okay, I'm going to put a condom on. And this is what's going to happen. Instead, it was like, she's like, yeah, where are the condoms? And I'm like, whoa, what's going on over there? What are they having sex right now? Like, because it kind of was a little confusing for me. And before you know it, he's got a condom on and they're off to the races. And I'm like, and immediately my focus is over there and not what's right in front of me. And I've was not fully up for the experience. I gave an effort, mm-hmm. but it was a poor effort. And
so I think we tapped.
Yeah, I tapped out.
Yeah.
I tapped out.
We quit.
Huh. Yeah.
That was our first hurdle.
Interesting. Yeah. So what was different? Similar story. I'm the great line that A had about the single guy is should I blow his mind and let him have sex with me? So by that time, a lot different entity, a lot different and just easier for you to watch. And
yeah,
and
one of the things behind the scene that we experienced was I became so distracted by her in good ways, it affected my ability to perform, and it was weird. I was more concerned about her than I was any other.
And then I think in that specific moment, it was probably similar to how I was feeling our first threesome, when it was no longer about me, it was about you. And I felt like I was outside of the experience. And that's probably how you felt when you tapped out. Like,
yeah.
Okay, I'm not having fun right now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm, yeah. And
I'm uncomfortable.
If it was now, I could just take a step back and appreciate it.
Well, now we do that. I mean, I've walked to the other room. I've gone to the bathroom. You know, it's a lot different now. But that was a long time ago.
So with that being said, when she did that, I had taken one of these magic fairy dust pills and was totally on my A game. And she knew I was...
You should clarify. That almost sounds like you were taking drugs, like ecstasy or something.
Oh, no, I was taking...
You said fairy dust, not pixie
dust.
He was
taking a boner pill.
Yeah, sorry.
An herbal boner pill.
And she could tell I was not having any issues, because I think I was having sex with somebody at that point.
Yeah.
And so how I felt at that point, there was a level of comfort with George. Yeah, I guess we can say George. level of comfort with George, and it was on the same bed I was on, and honestly, I was thinking, this is going to be, I want to watch, like, this is going to be entertaining. So yeah, there was a definite difference. And I mean, really, she's only been with two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure I'm up for a whole bunch more of emotional hurdles.
Yeah.
And for me, it's nervous. But yet, that sounds exciting. So, you know, who knows what will unfold. And, you know, we had that episode, 20? No, it wasn't. It was maybe 18, where it was role reversal, where A, you know.
She was into the guy.
Yeah, and you know, I was on the outside. So it's kind of fun.
We had somebody, I don't know if we've ever said this, but we had somebody... just vanilla person in the pool, the first time we ever went to a lifestyle party at the hotel, tell us that I think they'd been married for like 30 or 40 years. And I may have joked around about, so what's your secret? And she said, never get comfortable. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of become our,
motto, our
relationship motto. And you know, we'll refer to that when we get in these situations, like, you know, never get comfortable. And I, kind of like the DP thing. Like, I like not having it. It's just this like pipe dream, because I don't want to get comfortable. Yeah.
Well, I look at that never get comfortable when I think of kind of the typical unhappily married people, and coming from a marriage that didn't work, you know, people get comfortable and they get, you know, they quit trying, or they, you know, they don't challenge themselves, or their relationship doesn't grow, and that's what
I
see.
Well, that too, but I mean, just applying it to the lifestyle, it's, you know, because I think about, like, those couples, you know, we're comfortable with them, and that's fun, but you still want to challenge it a little bit. You still want to challenge those emotions.
It's like the lifestyle version of CrossFit. Compete every day.
It is.
Compete every day, never get comfortable.
Compete every day.
Okay, so I want to ask you guys kind of some rapid fire stuff about the lifestyle, because I think we've done a good job of getting some of the background stuff, and now you're old pros with a podcast.
So you're looking for short answers?
No, it doesn't necessarily have to be short answers, but I do want to make sure I get to all this, because some of this I think is pretty fun. So this is my favorite question that I kind of jotted down. A, what is the frequency of orgasm when you're in a lifestyle event?
For me, or for someone in general?
For you to get off.
It's only happened one time.
One time. So
maybe twice?
What?
Oh, wait.
So anybody other than T ever do it?
I don't think so. No. The times that it has, it's been T.
I
was thinking of...
And I'm talking male or female.
Hang on, I gotta pop my back. Oh, you mean like in general, not me, because I don't really get off very easily.
No. I was asking you get off, but I didn't mean it had to be a guy getting you off. Could be a girl. But anybody other than T ever get you off in a lifestyle?
No.
So for you, the frequency is zero.
Yes.
Do you, in your interactions with other women in the lifestyle, do you find that that is a common trait, that it's sort of not, women are not getting off a lot, or do you find?
It depends. I mean, I think there's a lot of women out there like me that need it how they need it, and their men are the only ones that know how to do that. I mean, I've noticed that. Like, mm-hmm. there's women that you can go down on them for an hour, but as soon as their husband's with them, it's like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I also think a lot of the girl-on-girl stuff is just heating up the car, you know, like just sure. warming it up. It's not usually seen through the end.
Do you think that you'll be able to maybe experience that as you get more comfortable?
I'm weird. I mean,
well, I'll say this: we got a new toy that seems to help ramp.
So we'll
things
just
up.
Take that.
Yeah. Well, I've had this thought too. So at one party we were at, the Ice Storm episode, we played with three different couples back in a room.
Yeah.
And at one point, A was on the bed, and one guy was going down on her. The other one was making out with her, and she faked an orgasm. And I thought, oh my God, she got off. Like, yeah. I was like, you know,
I'm convincing.
I was turned on. I was, you know, I was like,
is that something that's maybe a common?
Probably. Yeah, for sure.
A fake?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Probably.
Probably.
Maybe. Uh-oh. I don't know.
Well, I meant for you, eh?
No. Not with T. He knows the jig is up.
Are there times with you in the lifestyle when you're with a woman or a man where you just kind of want to politely end it, and so you kind of go to that?
I think T did that. I don't
yeah,
remember
I faked one time with you, remember? We were in the room with a couple. And he was very vocal, and it was distracting. And I'm like, I'm just going to play like I finished.
We're just going to pretend,
you.
Yeah. And then we ended up having sex when we got back to the room. But yeah. Now, okay. I definitely have. Because here's the thing. I can't go all night like some of these women. It just doesn't work. I get sore. So there's certain people that will go at it really hard, and I can't take that for very long. So yeah. Yes, I've faked that. And surprisingly... women. There's been some women
rough
that are
women.
Rough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of them are very soft and sensual. And that's why I like women, because they're sweet and they know, you know, they take their time. But there's others that, I mean, they're
watching
living,
the same porn.
Yeah. They're living life like porn stars, and they're, you know, with their hand. And that just doesn't do it for me.
That's hilarious. So this leads into, we're talking about orgasms. So there's a great story that you guys totally glossed over, which is.
Lord.
The party trick, as you call it, Day, and that is, so if I remember, let me set this up and see if I'm right here, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the Ice Bowl 2014, right?
Yes.
You're frozen in, takes you 7 hours to get to Dallas, whatever,
12.
And is that the first time you meet George?
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's having a conversation about how he can make any woman squirt,
yes.
And you guys are both not believing it, and yeah. He says, give me 30 seconds, I can do it, and holy crap, he succeeds. So,
yes.
Yeah, give us some details about how that went down.
Well,
maybe tell the story better than I just did.
Okay. Well, we were, that was the Ice Storm. There was nobody there. There were six of us, right?
Yeah, there was maybe 12 people in this club.
Yeah, there's six of us on the bed, just kind of playing. George and his date, who at this point we had interacted very little with, are sitting kind of on the chairs. This is the voyeur room. So they're sitting on the chairs just watching. And then there may have been sprinkled people in those chairs also watching. And I don't even remember how the conversation started, but I think one of the girls may have
He was engaging with us while we were on the bed.
Yeah.
He was like talking to us.
Well, and I think he was even with her on the bed at this point. And said something about squirting. And it was so laid back, the feel there that night, because there weren't very many of us. I think it played out perfectly, because if it was a big crowd of people, there's no way I would have been game for that. But he said, oh yeah, I can make any girl squirt. I mean, you guys have heard George, he's very confident. He does not lack in confidence. And he's like, oh yeah, I can make any girl squirt. Well, I called him on it. Bullshit. No, you can't. Because I don't orgasm very easily. I think we had maybe tried it.
I don't know.
I've tried it. I want to say it was with you.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I thought, no, I'm just not, that's not going to work. But I'm glad that you think you can. No, I can do it. Give me 30 seconds. Okay. And so I just jumped up there. I don't even know if I...
No, he said you need to go to the bathroom, and you got up and went to the bathroom. Yeah. And I remember this very vividly because this is one of those images of in my mind that was a total turn-on because A always is checking in with me or, you know, at this point rarely leaves my side and gets up, goes to the bathroom, comes back. I'm having a girl going down on me.
Well, and I think, was feeling very confident that night because I also walked to the bathroom naked.
Yeah. Well, it's because it was empty.
Yeah.
True. And so she comes back, and this girl's going down on me. So she was probably thinking, well, he's content. Fine.
Yeah.
And she just hops up on this bed and, you know, at this point hasn't had a lot of engaging of other men. And, like, on her knees kind of walks up to him on this bed. And
to me, it was very, like... scientific. I mean, it was. That sounds so silly, but it wasn't like, ooh, come here and touch me.
Yeah,
I want to see how you do this. It was very scientific right. to me.
So now she's like chest to chest with this guy.
Yeah.
Both of them kneeling.
Yeah, well, he's like walking me through it. He's like, okay, get on your knees. And he's on his knees. He's stark naked and his, you know, 8-inch dong is straight up. And is it 8 or 9? I don't want to offend him.
It probably wasn't down. Or it wasn't up. It was probably down.
Anyway, he's like, okay, get on your knees and you have to touch me, like chest to chest. So we're chest to chest, and he just gets one hand up there, and I mean, not a hand, maybe two fingers, cup, and just starts jamming it in and out really hard. And it doesn't feel good. I mean, it's not like, oh, this feels awesome, I'm gonna squirt. I was like, this guy's retarded, and there's no way he's finally met his match. This isn't happening. And before I could even wrap my head around what was going on, soaking wet, warm, you know, and I think that's why he made me go to the bathroom. Had I not just gone to the bathroom, I would have thought I just peed all over the bed, because that's what it felt like. And I think it was a shock to him. And if he was sitting here, he would probably say he called me an anomaly because it wasn't sexual to me.
Well, it didn't sound like you were feeling sexual going into it.
No, but even the times that we've done it since, it's like, weird. Like, it's fascinating to me. One, how it works. Two, how he can do it so fast, and it doesn't feel bad, but it doesn't feel good. It's not like, oh my God, I'm coming.
It's not like an orgasm.
No,
I think there's some sense of release, but it's not an orgasm.
Yeah, it's like, it's just cool.
Well, I think I remember T telling me there was a pool party not long after that where you sort of like challenged him, or not challenged him, but you're like, let me see if he can do this again. And sure enough, he did, right?
I think he may have even like, you know, cockily said, you want to see something cool? And had me jump up on the rocks and did it again or
what? Well, yeah, I think we played upstairs and then we were outside just chatting, and next thing I know he's got his hand up her skirt and he's making her do it again.
There was another girl that was with us and he was like, you want to see something cool? And
and that was interesting for me because here he's being very forward with, you know, we're not like naked on a bed playing or having sex, and I was really turned on by it, and A was actually concerned. I remember you sharing this afterwards. You're like, I didn't know if that would be upsetting to you. But it otherwise would, but for whatever reason in this setting, it didn't.
Yeah.
It was a turn on.
Well, let's switch gears. That's a hilarious story. Let's switch gears to the other side. T, what is, your listeners are dying to hear, what is the etiquette for the male orgasm in the lifestyle?
God, that is a great question. And not a very clear answer. The male etiquette, so this is my understanding. As long as you have a condom on, you're fine. My feeling is if you're with a woman, unless she's telling you, oh shit, I'm going to get off, like you're close, or I think you're good to just go whenever. I mean, obviously you don't want to get in and let it go and have it be 15 seconds long, but, you know, I think after some time you should then orgasm or come in a condom and be done. But without a condom, like, I don't know what the proper etiquette is, because if a woman's going down on you and she's super into it, like, you know, I'm sure you got to have that conversation, or I don't know if
I think that's when you say, oh, I'm going to come.
Yeah.
And then she either keeps going, and that's her own, that's her problem.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, one of the stories, which was really new, really a unique experience for us, was we went to this party that turned out to be like this orgy. And, you know, these girls were all about these guys coming on them. And I was like, this is the first time we've ever seen this. And it was kind of a tight-knit group. It was, you know, four couples, which I thought was a lot of fun, because this girl got on her knees in front of me and a couple others, and, you know, one girl's licking my balls and one.
Well, that there's more to that. They wanted these guys to, like, line up and all come all over them. Like, you guys were just yanking it and coming on them. It was the weirdest thing.
It was.
I think there's a word for that.
Bukkake.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a little bit like that.
It all over their face, and
I didn't see that coming, because up until then, I don't know what the etiquette is, and I've had this question myself. But what I've seen is, you know, most of it is safe play. Everyone's using a condom, and in your experience, and from what I've seen, others and myself, as long as you have a condom on, you just come whenever.
Yeah.
A, have you ever had to deal with this issue, with obviously through something other than intercourse, with someone other than T, like dealing with? Have you ever had to give someone a high five like you did T the first time?
No. Getting it in my hair. I don't think so. I'm not. I mean, I'll play along and I'll pretend like we're on a porn, but I'm not about people coming in my face or my hair. I'm really weird about my hair, especially. So yeah, I was not in that lineup that night.
Yeah.
But I haven't had that issue.
It's an interesting question, because it's you know, something you deal with in your own relationship as a guy, if you're going to go multiple times, where you have this sort of this cleanup period, where you, like, if you're with your wife, you're talking about who's taking the kids to soccer the next day. You can't really do that at a club, right? So it's just, I've always wondered what the etiquette is on this. So, hey, first time you're with a girl and you're going down, how in the world do you know what to do?
I have a vagina. That's easy.
Okay,
I'm more worried about how did you guys know what to do the first time? I mean, I have one. That's easy. I was a pro. who did we?
She took a lot of pride in her ability to go down on a woman, and it almost felt like competitive with me. Like the first few times, like she liked it way better when I did it. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it for a long time, and I mean, I still do. But I think, especially at first, because one, it was new and exciting, and two, I didn't have any interest in the men, so that was fun for me.
So do you keep, like, notches on how many women you've taken to completion?
I don't, and I'll be honest, the last, like, I don't know if it was the last time we went, but there was a night where I really wasn't feeling it. Like, I just decided I wasn't a lesbian that night. Like, I don't know, just, I don't really want to go down on her, and I'm not, but that was also the night I didn't want four dudes to come on my face, so maybe I just wasn't in the mood.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun night. All right, so some more rapid fire stuff. These are going to be totally unrelated, but interesting to me at least. So, do you worry at all? You hinted about safety. Do you guys worry at all about STDs?
I wouldn't say we worry about them. I think we make sure that we're safe. You know, we only play safe and we get tested. So I typically don't worry about it.
No. I mean, everybody uses condoms, so it's not like I've never, in fact, seen anybody not. Well, maybe I have.
You have, but they came together.
True.
So since you guys have become celebrities, what's the craziest thing you've gotten so far from social media, from Twitter, from your website? Any crazy tweets, emails to share? Fun.
Twitter is just crazy in general.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we get people who definitely, like, have a particular fetish.
Yeah.
And they want to know details about.
Yeah.
You know, there's, I think...
The cuckolds.
The cuckolds
are weird.
Yeah, they want to know about A and sex.
Positions. Yeah, they want to know, like, what position I was in. And
yeah.
They're like, that was a great full frontal picture, A, but if you could send one where you're with a donkey and holding a head of lettuce in your left hand. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not judging, by the way.
That sounded judgmental. I'm not judging.
No. Yeah, whatever floats your boat. But no, I think what goes on, at least some of the time, is these guys are probably in the marriage that T was in.
Yeah.
And they can't maybe watch porn, or they can't go to these clubs or whatever. And so they kind of have this life on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like that's probably the majority of that. And so those private conversations that they send wanting to know what position, they're just having cyber sex. They're just living out these fantasies. Yeah. And so, whatever.
Well, and there's a lot of...
It's harmless.
There's a lot of male admirers of the A on Twitter. And couples, too. But we get a lot of, oh, if what the things I would do to her. Or, you know, suddenly we'll get a private message of a large penis. And
it's harmless, though. It's fun.
Yeah. And all in good fun.
T manages all that. So he gets to deal with it.
Yeah, he's your filter.
Yeah.
So how would you guys deal if you're outed with your children, with your family, with your other vanilla friends? Have you prepared or thought about that at all?
I wouldn't deal with that very well at all. I'm just going to make sure that doesn't happen.
I wouldn't care. I think going through a divorce and some of the things that I, you know, admitted to my parents, I wouldn't really be worried about anyone else knowing. About anything I was doing. I'm not really worried about it.
In general, I care more about what people think about me probably than you do, but it's the kids. It's kids and moms, and I don't want that judgment while raising children.
The ignorance of not knowing.
Yeah. What it's and that's about. All it is. They just don't know, but I'm not out on a mission like kind of like the, who am I thinking of? Holly and Michael. To educate the public and be out. And I think that's great. And that's wonderful for them. But just listening to them talk gives me anxiety. Sure. Because I couldn't do that.
Sure. Well, I think would it be fair to say, A, that if there weren't kids in the equation, you'd be much, much less worried about it. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's not that you're feeling any shame at all about your decisions. You're just saying, hey, these aren't my children's decisions. They're mine. And I don't want them to have to pay for my decisions.
Yes. And I've even shared a lot of this with some of my vanilla friends. I mean, I'm not, if it's somebody that I know and they know me and they know my heart, then I have no problem explaining to them what this is and why we do what we do. It's the people that don't know that I don't want to deal with the judgment.
Yes. Do you think that you will ever evolve to a polyamorous situation, or do you think that it's lifestyle until you get bored with it and back to vanilla?
I say no.
I wouldn't say we're ever probably going to be back to vanilla, because I think once a mind is expanded, it can't contract, you know? So I don't know.
I think we'll have ups and downs, though.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I see if this got to, I mean, if we had a baby, if, you know, whatever, you're going to have moments where it's not something you want to do. And I think that we'll get through that.
Yeah, having George's baby would put a real damper on our lifestyle.
Damn it.
If George and A had a baby, that's a thought right there. It's another one I didn't have written on my possible responses list.
That's a question that I have, though. I always say that. Has that ever happened?
Sure.
I mean, there was a time, and it would be so far-fetched, but it was probably last summer where I was like, oh my God, what if I was pregnant? And I mean, so many things would have to happen. I'm on birth control. The condom would have to break. It would, you know, the stars would have to align. But what would you do? And has that ever happened?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's freaky.
Yeah, it sort of happened to me last year. So just wasn't George, I hope. all right. So God forbid, two of my dearest friends in the world break up. And I hope it doesn't happen. It won't ever happen. But God forbid, theoretically, do you stay in the lifestyle?
Oh, I already have a plan.
Switch your profile from really great couple to really great guy.
Yeah. I move to Dallas and I become George's sex toy. No, I don't know. I think we've talked about that, but I think I jokingly say, well, I would have no problem. I could
You would have no problem
fitting into the lifestyle by myself. I mean, I could go down there and
be a unicorn.
You would have to find a date.
I think I would manage.
You could probably manage.
I think it goes back to that statement I made before where how can, when a mind's been expanded, go back? You know, I realize not just, oh yeah, this is great, we get to have sex with other people, but the benefits of this type of relationship and the openness and the acceptance. And
how would you go backwards?
How would you go backwards? I don't know.
We've met a lot of people in the lifestyle that are on second marriages.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Holly and Michael both. But Michael had been in the lifestyle before, is why I said that. So he probably felt that way. Like, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast or not, but he wouldn't have been in a relationship with somebody that wasn't somewhat open to that, because that's who he was.
Well, Holly was Mormon, so he couldn't have banked on that.
He wouldn't have stayed with her alone.
That's good. Well, hey, if you guys are listening, we're talking out our asses right now. We have no idea.
But probably not. I mean, if that was such a big part of his life, that would be hard to have a relationship with somebody that wasn't open to that.
Yeah.
So, all right, this is my last question here, and it's a multi-part question, so bear with me. Bucket list. I want to talk about the bucket list for you guys in the lifestyle.
The bucket list?
The bucket list.
Yes, I know. You've touched on it before. And the reason it's multi-part is because I have two things that I wanted you to specifically answer, if you don't mind. Number one, the cruises, and you've talked about, and maybe you could share with your listeners about this possibility of you being a host or going on the cruise. And then secondly, do you think you'll ever pull the trigger on your massage fantasy?
Oh, God, no. And I don't, I shouldn't say no, maybe. Do we want to start, where do we want to start?
Why don't you start with the first one?
Okay, the fuck it bucket list?
Yes, and the cruise.
The cruise. Yes, I think we'll go on a cruise.
It's
a trip.
It's being discussed right now. Yeah. I think the cruise would be a blast. It sounds very intense, like night after night after night after night of parties and, you know, I almost said, I just stopped myself from saying gorgeous people because of all the ridicule I've gotten about attractive people. It sounds like a lot of fun. But I don't know that that's the ideal, and we're going to talk about it. We might do it, but to not be able to get away at all, I think a trip to like Desire or Hedonism may be better, just because we can at least retreat to a room or to a beach or something.
Well, and for me, we don't travel much, so it's not, I think if we were traveling somewhere every month, it would be awesome to go on a lifestyle cruise. But that may be our vacation, you know, for the year or for the summer or whatever. And so I want to be able to have at least some moments where it's
about
us. We should
tell people we went on a trip. We want to be able to tell people. Hey, where'd you guys go for 5 days? I don't know. We just saw the inside of a cruise room.
No, it's not even that at all. It's just I want to be able to have us time. Yeah. I mean, 2 days in a row in Dallas wears me out.
Yeah.
So I need more.
It might be like Vegas. There might be a time limit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. But I don't know. I mean, we've heard good things about these cruises, and I think maybe there is some getaway moments, but I think that's more our style is going to a location.
Yeah. So it'll probably happen.
I would love to, nobody asked me, but I would love to also go to the the land-based ones.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a fantasy you guys have talked about. I'm sorry, T, did I talk over you there?
Yeah, so there was a part two to that question.
Yeah, so I was kind of moving on to that. Okay. So there's a fantasy you guys have touched on before about sort of the stranger fantasy and A, being massaged by a handsome, well-hung gentleman, and then that leading into sex. And you guys went so far as to put an ad out on Craigslist, identify a candidate. Interviewed. There were pictures involved and maybe even some false starts. Maybe you could sort of update us on that. And again, do you think you'll ever pull the trigger on that?
Well, part of it was I feel like A does a lot to make sure that I have fun and I'm satisfied and I'm entertained and that was kind of my way of, you know, and we've all heard her say there's not a lot of options for women when it comes to men that she's attracted to. And so it was like, well, this might be a nice treat for her. You know, and I know she's has her reservations about it, but it might be maybe a slow process. Not necessarily he comes over and they have sex, but, you know, maybe just the excitement of, oh my gosh, this guy gave me a massage, saw me naked, whatever. So we flirted with that idea, and yes, I even met, you know, she picked a guy out of 200 emails. It was funny. She was like, this is a joke. Like, no, I'm not interested. This is wait, who's this? Like, she saw this picture and she's like, no, this might work.
I even Facebook stalked him because he emailed us from his actual email.
Yeah.
So,
but what I learned after, quite a while of kind of asking and prodding, the stars were going to have to align perfectly. She was going to have to be a certain level of drunkenness, and this guy was going to need to be Johnny on the spot and show up within 10 minutes.
Yeah, because it's usually after a couple drinks and now he can come. It's a weird thing for me. And honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, like where my comfort level with that now would be, okay, let's go meet him out for drinks, the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely no plans of anything. And then maybe after a couple drinks, okay, we can invite him home.
Yeah.
Right.
That sounds to me like, yeah, we'll do this. And then she'll be like, hey, where are the condoms at when we got home?
Maybe. I mean, maybe. I don't know. It's creepy to me. Well, there's lots of things that worry me. One, we're inviting a stranger into our home. And two, I feel like there's no eject button when they're in your house. Yeah,
her problem is, and I know this about her, is she has a hard time being assertive or, you know, saying, she goes with the flow just to avoid conflict or not wanting to ruffle feathers. So she'd have trouble saying, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I would. It would be a challenge.
So,
any other things on the fuck it bucket list?
Just double penetration. DP, it's going to stay there probably for a while.
Well, my bucket list is for us to potentially meet a young lady that wants to join us on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah, that wants to clean and give blowjobs.
Yeah. So if you know of any, send them our way.
She doesn't really have to clean, but...
No, now we got a cleaning lady.
She could give blowjobs.
As part of our bringing more tolerance... the homosexual community into this lifestyle. I mean, does it have to be a woman to clean and give blowjobs?
Is this an offer?
Are you interested? are you interested? Is that what you're asking?
No, it's making a bad joke. Well, that's all I have, guys.
That was awesome.
That was fun.
That was interesting.
You need your own podcast.
Yeah.
We'll see when you edit whether or not I'm any good.
Very good. That's fun.
Thanks for having me. I'll keep my ears peeled through your upcoming episodes and make sure that I call BS on you if you don't go into enough detail.
Do it.
For we, the listeners.
Okay.
And also,
we'll just start forwarding you our emails we're getting from our listeners.
Yeah, I'll be your screener, your producer.
Yeah.
Also, shameless plug, our Twitter handle is at SwingerState. And I don't know why we picked that name, so don't ask. But we're Eminem. It's not actually Cuckold Dave because I hate that name. see us retweeting some stuff from
absolutely.
That's me and the wife.
Yeah, and the wife is hot. People.
Yeah, she is. She is very good
pictures.
Very good pictures.
If she's in the room, that's the only time that doesn't have the lockdown on the hottest girl in the room.
No, that's true. That's very true.
All right. Well, thanks for playing along.
You bet. I'll talk to you
later.
All right. See you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of The Curious Couple for the Curious Ear with TNA. You can find us at thecuriouscouple.com, email us at thecuriouscpl@gmail.com, and find us at Twitter with the same handle. Be sure to check out sdc.com for your free one-month membership with our promo code 25648. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. We always appreciate your ratings and reviews. Catch you next time.